And on with us on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. So, Doug, we're a couple of days and counting until the draft. Now we take a look at, again, more possibilities, more speculation on what the Browns will do. Are you buying any of the quarterback talk at all?
Not really. I think, you know, I think when you look at a roster, you look at, you know, what you have and, you know, whether or not you've really had the chance to discover whether or not what they can do. And you've got two former number one draft picks there, and one guy has just a year under the belt, and now you're going into a offense that's really more suitable for his arm. And I think, you know, you have to really spend, you know, a year in that offense to find out maybe this is the guy. And you know, they always used to say that a quarterback needs a couple of years to, you know, learn the West Coast offense. And, you know, I think, you know, for Brandon Weeden, you know, last year there was a lot on his plate. And I think, you know, this offense is going to be much more suitable. And, you know, of course, Jason Campbell has a track record of, you know, having success in the NFL, you know, until he got hurt. So I think, that's a position that, you know, I don't think, you address right off the top.
And as much as I accept Rob Chudzinski saying this was a teaching or is a teaching period in minicamp more than an evaluation period, I have to believe this provides value to the decision makers, Chudzinski and Michael Lombardi, Joe Banner, to see exactly what they have in Brandon Weeden and make some, I think, some harder thoughts or conclusions about what he's going to be to them, right? I don't think you just go through this. I know he's got to learn, like the rest of them, this new offense in North Turner, but I would have to believe some evaluative thoughts are going on and that they're going to be applied on what this team does Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, the fact, yeah, you're trying to find out, as they say, teaching or learning, and, okay, how much can the guy grasp in a short period? You know, you want to know the mental aspects of it. But the physical aspects of, you know, the ability to get the ball down the field and, you know, a more vertical type offense, I think, you know, as we said, you know, it matches up with Brandon Weeden's arm. Now, do you sit there and you go walk out of a mini camp or OTAs and say, oh, geez, you know, I didn't like his arm? I don't think so. I think, you know, they liked his arm very much.
Yeah, I think they did too, and I think they like the level of comfort he showed working from shotgun formation. It seemed much more natural for him. And I think it helps, too, that the receivers are knowing more about what they do. And to see a Josh Gordon run the patterns he's running, catch the football, to see a Greg Little do what he's doing and be as enthusiastic as he is, all of those things, not only do they help themselves, but they are helping this group identify, the leadership group identify who that quarterback would be, at least for this year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as you look at it, you know, last year you've got a rookie quarterback, although he is 28 years old. But then you got a rookie running back. You've got two receivers. One is a rookie that hasn't played for a year. The other one has played a year, but he sat out the year before. So the experience factor across the board, you know, it's a tough load for a quarterback to elevate, you know, all, you know, three or four skill position players around him.
When you look at what the Browns then would do at number six, Doug, are you leaning in any particular direction? Basically, the conversation seems to come down to if they stay with the pick, if they don't trade out, and I guess this could apply if they trade out, but let's stick with just making the pick at six. Are you in the outside linebacker category? Or are you in the cornerback category?
Well, I think probably the cornerback category, in as much as you've got Kruger, you're going to have him for a while. The thing is, they talk about the outside linebacker position, but you know the question mark is Jabal Sheer. How's that transition going to be? And I think Jabal Sheer, you know, we go back to the OTAs, and you know what did you see with Jabal Sheer? How did he handle it? I think, you know, that is going to be, you know, what, if he has to drop, you know, is it going to be ugly, or is he a guy that can take away a deep or a short inside zone coverage in the flat? And I think, you know, I saw Jabal Sheer the other day down Florida, and he really liked the going there. So, you know, there's an unknown factor there. Now you go to the cornerback position. They signed a couple guys, got them 1-year contracts, so that's just, you know, basically a patch, and if it works out, then they can upgrade. But, you know, then you got the combination, you need a safety too. So, Do you take a safety in the first round? A lot of teams, you know, don't like to take safeties in the first round. I think you have to evaluate the depth of the draft, you know, overall at the positions. And then, you know, if you know that one is a lot weaker than the other, you might want to get in and get your hands, grab your guy, and then, you know, work on the other positions.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. And there are a lot of people that I talk with either around the league and hear from listeners, from fans who really push this cornerback thought, who believe that is really what this team needs to come away with from this first round. My concern with that is D. Milner, as much as he is talked about as the obvious pick for the Browns, as much as he's discussed as the top corner in the draft, there are so many other thoughts that I keep hearing regarding, okay, number one, he's got to come back from his torn labrum. He's got to come back from that shoulder surgery, something I know you know personally dealing with. And then the question becomes, is he ready for the start of training camp? Some reports now that he wouldn't be. I don't know how big a deal that is in the long run. The guy did work out extremely well, despite the fact that he had yet to have the surgery at the combine. He really ran well and went through the drills, and I thought that did make a statement.
Yeah, and it goes both ways because, you know, when Joe Hayden came out, you know, everybody, you know, he had a bad time, but, he, you know, he'd had an injury, and he went and ran anyhow, and a lot of people said, whoa, geez, you know, that time wasn't good. But, you know, you got to look at the work of product that he had in college and how he played when he was healthy, and, you know, Joe Hayden has been a very solid first-round pick. By the same token, I go back to when they drafted Courtney Brown. Never been hurt in college. Awesome specimen, but he gets to the pro game, and, you know, he has trouble staying on the field. So when you look into the medical side, you know, you can kind of flip the coin on that one because, you know, the game is a brutal game, and guys are going to get hurt. And, you know, you have to find out what kind of competitor the guy is. Because if he's a competitor, he's going to find a way to get himself back and ready to play.
Doug Deacon joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline for the Browns Radio Network here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The thing I'd ask you, though, as someone who played on the offensive line, your thoughts were confined to the front seven you faced, right? And you were confined to how does that pass rusher, how do I have to handle him, what can he do? And you faced some great ones during your time in the National Football League. There's a big part of me, Doug, that says that if this team were to load up there, you already have a Paul Kruger. We'll see what Quinton Groves is all about, but we presume he's going to be a factor because of what he did in Arizona for Ray Horton. And if you look at guys like Deion Jordan from Oregon, if you look at guys like Barkevious Mingo from LSU, Ezekiel Ansah from BYU, these are players that look like they could be dynamic and game changers. And when I think of the great Pittsburgh Steelers defense and pass rush, when I think of what the Ravens have done, I keep coming back to this overload of talent of pass rushers and that how much more that can do for a defense, maybe even more so than having great corners. Do you need great corners if you have that kind of pass rush?
Well, yeah, either or. I mean, if you got the pass rush, you can the corners aren't is going to be the shutdown corner is going to be as important. But if you got the shutdown corner and the guy's not open, then, you know, maybe the pass rush, you know, need is not going to be as great. But I think you sit there and you look at and say, which one of these guys is going to be on our ball club in 10 years, and which one of these guys, when you're, you know, drafting six, is going to have about four or five Pro Bowls by the time, you know, he gets to his 10th year. And, you know, that's a tough question. I think, you know, yeah, you know, there's a philosophy, you always want the guys closer to the ball. And, I think if you can get a good pass rusher, that's a boost. But then what happens with that third guy? And, you know, the NFL defensively, you know, has become a very substitutional game. I mean, you always have different packages and things like that. And I think Ray Horton is a guy that would create a way to get your pass rushers on the field. And, you know, to say that he's got to be an outside linebacker to rush the passer, no, if you can get a guy that can find a way to do it from the inside, that helps too.
You brought up safety. I think that's an interesting position for this team, and can they get in a position to get one? They're so hard to find really good ones, and this draft seems to have a couple of them for sure, but I don't like any draft. I don't know that there's many. You hear this kid, Kenny Vaccaro from Texas, as being the best safety in the draft, and I know there are a lot of Browns fans who would love to see him in orange and brown, but whether you can get a guy like that. You wouldn't – I don't think you're going there at six, but in a trade-down scenario, that might make sense, and especially if you pick up that second-round pick, and then if you wanted to address another defensive spot, be it corner or outside linebacker there, I guess you could. And then there is – to your favorite place offensive line discussion, does it make sense for this team at some point in this draft, somewhere in the middle area, whatever it might be, to get another offensive lineman?
Well, yeah, you always need, you know, an offensive lineman to develop. But the other position I think, you know, you've got to look at is tight end. I mean, yeah, you got Jordan Cameron. They signed a couple other tight ends. But, you know, you lost an Alex Smith. You lost some Ben Watson. And, you know, although Alex Smith didn't catch a lot of passes, he had a lot of versatility, you know, that, you know, really added to the offense. Ben Watson was, you know, a very good receiver, and he had, you know, some productive years. One year, you know, he led the team in reception. So I think, you know, with a Norv Turner-Chud-type offense, you know, you want some production there, and there's times you can line up two tight ends and be, you know, great if both of them, you know, are pass catchers too.
Yeah, I think the matchups become so much more favorable when you've got those kinds of guys. When you can pressure a defense so much more if the tight end is a bigger part of what you're doing. And as you said, Chud, Norv Turner are going to utilize that player, those players. I think there's reason to like what Jordan Cameron has done just in a brief amount of time that we've watched him. I think he's been impressive. He looks physically impressive to me. And, again, more so like he knows what he's doing out there as a guy who is less looking like the basketball player converted to tight end, and now he just looks like he's playing football.
Well, yeah, I think we knew when we saw him, you know, with his athletic ability and the basketball background that he had tremendous, you know, upside as a receiving tight end. Now the blocking part of that game is, you know, what he's got to work on next. And, you know, it's very few guys, you know, you see that are a combination. I go back to Ozzie Newsome. You know, Ozzie was a pass receiving tight end, and, you know, the next block that Ozzie throws will be his first. But with that said, you know, he was a very productive player. And, you know, you'd like to think that, you know, you can get a guy that can do both so you don't tip your hand, you know, when you put in that substitution.
Realistically, how many players from this draft have to come in and produce immediately for this Browns team? I guess the question is, how much from the previous year's drafts do you believe? And this is a tough one to wrap your head around, because the decision makers now didn't draft those players, have to assess what they inherited, how much of it is usable and functions well within this team, and how much they need to add. Do you see this as being a draft that this team needs to just carry itself into the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, you know, you don't have a second round, but you know, you'd like to think your first two picks, if you got one, you know, are going to be starters. And then, you know, the third and fourth, maybe, you know, in a rotation and things like that. But, you know, you look at across the board, you know, where guys have been drafted. You know, in the secondary, we got a first and we got a second rounder. All three of our linebackers as we go now are second rounders. Then you go to the defensive line, you got a first rounder and a second rounder, and then you got a Reuben, who's probably, if he came out today, would be a first or second rounder. Offensive line, you've invested a couple first round picks there. You got a second, a third, and a fourth. Running back, you got a first. Quarterback, you got a first. Wide receiver, you got a couple seconds. So, you know, you've pretty much loaded your team up with, you know, high draft picks across the board, and you hope that the evaluation, you know, matches, because the problem is this is such a young team. You know, some of these guys, you know, it's tough to get a good read on them until their second or third year. And I think, you know, we talk about drafting a safety. Well, you know, a safety in the top 10, you know, that's a tough thing. You know, safeties and centers are usually late first-round picks, you know, if you're going to take them.
Yeah, and I think the trade-down scenario, if it does happen, and you know that's something this team would love to do if the right situation comes up, but so would other teams in that top 10. We know that. But I think it would make a statement about how they're proceeding with things here. I think the more draft picks you want to add, which is always a good thing for capital, for movement, trade capital, and so forth, but I think it also tells me that, hey, this is year one of Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi and the people making the decisions here. And I think that you're looking, you're taking a longer term view if you're able to expand what you're doing with your draft picks. I think if you're just dealing with the picks you have, then you're more targeted, probably more need based, and you're looking at who you're going to put out there as you say, as guys who might start. It's reasonable to think maybe your first couple of picks in almost any draft are going to get on the field for you right away. But I think if this team is able to expand its choices and gather more picks, it'll be more of a longer view.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you try to track the people that, you know, they were with, you look back to Mike Lombardi when he was here with Belichick. They did trade down the 1 year because Kyle Brady, the tight end, went off the board to the Jets right before him, so they ended up taking, you know, Craig Powell later. But, then you look at the way Belichick has done it in New England, and, you know, you look at the people you've worked with, and a lot of times you like to count. You know, Belichick was a guy that believes in collecting draft picks. I mean, every year he'd be trading down to get it. So it'll be interesting to see what their philosophy is. Are they going to be ones that are going to say, you know, I want, you know, to get extra draft picks so I can, you know, move up and down the board, you know, on draft day? Or are they going to, you know, be one of those guys that, you know, they obviously said they targeted 18 to 20-some players. And with that said, you know, that gives you flexibility maybe to go down to the 18th spot. But then after that, are all of a sudden you're getting, you know, second-round player in the first round.
So fascinating. It's just stuff that you just I'm not going to say it boggles the mind, but it certainly raises all of our curiosity, and we're going to find out soon enough. Doug, appreciate the time, and we'll talk again next week.
Okay.
He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.